Sunday fun day.
Is it ever?
It's the most beautiful day in New York City.
It's an amazing day. I think we said that last Sunday, but it just is.
Well, last Sunday, that wasn't the most beautiful day, but this Sunday is actually. Yeah. Or maybe they just keep getting more and more beautiful.
Ugh, maybe our eyes keep being attuned to beauty, and by next week, who knows what we'll see.
Oh, I love to be attuned to beauty. Oh, my goodness. You listened to Rob Bell's podcast about Sometimes I Feel Lost, which I thought was amazing.
Yes.
We talked at one point about teachers just shout platitudes at you, and I was like, I might be that. Rob.
I love it when you shout platitudes at me.
I love shouting platitudes at strangers.
Do you remember when we played the game once where we yelled aggressively beautiful things to people?
Yes, it's my favorite game.
So, friends, this actually happened when Kristen and I were getting out of a cab one day, and Kristen just kind of like not aggressively, but like really loud and affirmatively said to the cab driver, have the best day ever! And then it gave us the idea of what would happen if you shouted angrily and aggressively beautiful spiritual things at people. It's so confusing.
It's so confusing.
You're the most beautiful person I've ever seen!
And we laughed so hard, we couldn't stop doing this for a full, like, 24 hours. And every time we did it, it cracked us up so much. We were, like, crying with laughter. It was, like, the kind of laughter where you're, like, peeing your pants.
We just felt so silly. But for whatever reason, it brought us a lot of joy.
You bring me a lot of joy.
Well, anyway, if you're new to the Great Podcast, welcome to this conversation.
Yes, this is called Let's Play the Create Podcast, and we like to talk about creativity and spirituality and how anytime you make something, it is by definition spiritual, because you're taking what is inside of you, your soul, and bringing it out and creating form. That's a spiritual game there.
It is, and we are all creators. No matter what we do with our life and our vocation, we all have dreams and desires and passions. The yogis call it a dharma, a sacred purpose that puts you in harmony with the cosmos. And we're all here for something, you know? Yeah. We're all here to bring joy and light and love and passion and adventure and substance and growth and evolution to the planet. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been created. Something else would have been created. We're here to move the conversation forward, and our desire is the pointer that tells us how we're meant to do that.
And have you ever noticed that you feel in harmony when you're doing your dharma?
Mm.
Like, when I'm talking with you and we're having these conversations, I feel so good, I feel so alive, I feel in the flow, and the same thing happens to me when I'm writing, when I'm directing, when I'm doing the things that I was put on the planet to do, when I'm making love, I am in my dharma.
Yeah. And dharma can look in so many different ways. I mean, for me, I have this flair for decorating.
Yeah.
I have a flair for having, like, beautiful flowers in my home. I have a flair for putting together a cheese plate, you know, traveling. So it's like your dharma can show up no matter what you do with your life. If you're a parent, you can show up in dharma as a parent and how you raise your kids and that artistry, you know, in anything that you do, we want to open the conversation to say there is inherent creativity in this whole game, and you are part of it, and you are part of it powerfully.
That's so well said. And it's true. No one sets a table like you.
I love to set a table.
Oh, I mean, it's like mouth-watering art. It should go into the Smithsonian.
I even go sometimes to Central Park and pick, like, beautiful leaves and things to put on the table. I love making a centerpiece. I love floral arrangements. I love it.
And I feel like I just win. Like, between your boyfriend, who is a masterful chef, and you, who makes everything look so gorgeous, like, I go over for Christmas, and I'm it's like I've walked into, like, a Martha Stewart spread.
Yeah, dinner parties are fun at the Roy Hood.
I just win.
Yeah.
I win so hard. So today, we are answering some listeners' questions, and I'm really stoked to talk about these topics, because it's exactly what the universe is talking to me about, so I'm really glad that we're all having the same conversation.
Yeah, and we've, you know, said this before, but we absolutely love to talk about what our leading edge of growth is and what we're learning and what we're being inspired by. And so often when you guys give us your thoughts and ideas and say, hey, would you guys ever do a podcast on this topic or this topic? It moves us into a really cool conversation and direction in our own lives. That's really awesome for us. So please keep them coming. Please come over to our Create Community Facebook page. It's the acronym CREATE, C.R.E.A.T.E. Community Facebook page. Come on over, join the Facebook page, join our mailing list so you can find out what's going on with us and give us your ideas, because nothing turns us on more.
Well, a couple things turn us on more. I also want to say real quick before we jump into these questions, we're doing a summer sale.
Mm-hmm.
First week in June.
Summer sale.
Most of the offerings on our website are like half off.
I want to say like all.
I think it's everything.
So if you've ever been interested in any of our offerings, so we have this awesome happy hour video, which is basically a create class. It's a really cool video. We do really cool exercises and meditations. It's on sale for $10.
It's like getting to listen to our podcast, but you get to see how attractive we are. And I promise you, it's worth the $10.
And we also have our Create book.
Mm-hmm.
It's our playbook, our manual to how you grow an idea from inspiration to manifestation. That book is on sale for $10. It's so fun.
I know. Our course. Our 7 hours of Kristen and Natalie. You can get that for $100.
You just can't get enough. And then Kristen's badass, awesome, rad writing class that can help you transform your script and write the thing that you have been dying to write is also on sale.
It's $75. It's such a steal, because usually when I teach the class, it's usually around like $400.
Yeah.
So we're
cheap for summer.
We're so cheap for summer. We just want to put on the short shorts and take our tops off. Okay, so do you want to read the first one?
I would love to. So we have an awesome gentleman in our community named Igor. And Igor wrote me this, and this is going to be the starting point. I get overwhelmed with the amount of things I want to take action on. Sometimes overwhelm can be paralyzing for me. It gets me out of my mindfulness, stopping me from taking action. And then he says, which I love, in addition to your amazing meditations and your podcast, which I'm obsessed with, what do you suggest to stay mindful and active in that leading edge of growth, taking the massive actions when the overwhelm comes up to keep you small? And he said, is there a podcast episode about this? Losing my mindfulness when I'm hit with the paralyzing overwhelm. And so it's interesting because it relates to another viewer's question that we wanted to kind of tie these two things together, this idea of taking action, sometimes getting overwhelmed because it seems like there's so many actions to take, you don't know how. You feel so overwhelmed with the amount of things you want to do or the amount of things that are important or urgent to do, and then kind of how to navigate where to go from there.
So this comes from our darling Victoria. You mentioned ideas coming to you in meditation. I was wondering if you could walk us through that a bit more in detail in an upcoming Create podcast. Thank you. I envision squeezing the cheeks of your face the way my Italian grandma used to do to me when she was just overcome by love. Victoria, all I want is your hands on my cheeks.
Oh, bring it.
So this topic is so exciting to me because I used to really suffer from what he's talking about, that overwhelm.
Yeah.
In a way that was kind of debilitating, especially in my early 30s. Like, right after Rock of Ages hit and became successful, I had this feeling like I wanted to take on the world. And so I would take on a lot. Too much. And in that, I would be so excited about working on a project or working on many projects. And I would hit a state of overwhelm sometime that would make me melt down.
Mm.
It would make me feel like I couldn't get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exactly what he talks about, of a losing of my mindfulness. And it's really interesting because what occurred was like a talking to myself, where it was like, Kristen, you love to make things. You love to like make a lot of things, and you like to multitask. That's something you really enjoy. You like having a handful of things going on at the same time. what you're doing is not sustainable.
Mm.
And I have many journal entries talking to the divine about it, of give me a new way of looking at what it is I want to create. How can I still create everything that's in my heart and not let it overwhelm me? And what really occurred was every time that I would get overwhelmed, it meant that I had left the present moment. So fear was becoming bigger than allowing source to flow through me. As we know, anytime we're creating, we're channeling, right? We are tapping into the universal energy that flows through us. So when I am writing, I am listening to, you want to call it spirit or the force of love, or you can even call it your own creativity, whatever it is you want to call it, but I'm listening. And I can't listen and be afraid at the same time.
Mm.
So I have to choose, what voice am I listening to? It's like when we talk about, am I listening to love or am I listening to fear? So having an ongoing meditation practice allows me to drop my mind, right? To learn how to clear my mind of thoughts. And then when I can drop my thoughts and get into that yummy nectar place, then I can hear. And it's from that place of hearing that I know what to create. And the universe will also tell me what needs to be worked on in this present moment if I ask and I listen.
Mm.
And what I'm really excited to share with people is there is this constant broadcast that is always coming from the universe. And if we learn how to quiet our mind and create space, create room, we will start to hear. So I think it's a bigger conversation about learning how to listen.
Yeah, I agree. And it's really interesting. I also think that the way people receive is unique.
Yes.
Right? So you will often describe the hearing almost like it's an audio sensation for you. And for me, I don't hear, but I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I will feel something in my body, and then I will know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I receive the information through my ears. It's like I receive it through my senses. I receive it through my feeling tone of my body. That it's like I will feel, the best way I can describe it is like a tickle or a sensation in my body, or I would just feel a different knowing in my body, like something clicks in a different place, and then I just know it. Then I just know the next thing to do. So it's never for me that I hear like a voice or that I hear words the way I've heard you describe it. Even with acting, I will sometimes be in a scene and it's like the impulse is informed through my body into language. Right. So for me, it comes from a more sensorial place before it comes through language. And so I think that it's part of listening is saying, how do I receive it?
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to receive it differently. Some people are clairvoyant. Some people are clairsentient. Some people are clairaudient. So clairaudient is more the hearing. Clairsentient is the feeling. Clairvoyant is the seeing.
I get a lot of that too, the seeing. It comes to me in images.
The flashes.
Yes, especially with creating.
Yeah.
Like when I'm directing a scene, I will see things.
Mm.
And then I'll go, okay, let's have Sherry put lipstick on Drew. Like,
right.
It came through a
vision.
Quick vision.
Yeah. So it's kind of like the first thing for me, the first step is saying, well, I'm really curious how I receive it. And there's actually this really interesting acronym that I heard recently. It's called RAIN, like the rain that falls, R-A-I-N. And so the first step is receiving. So the first step is to say, what am I receiving? How am I receiving it? And getting like really curious and interested in that. And then after that, you get into allowing. So can I allow what I receive? Can I receive it? So the intuition or the knowing or the vision, and then can I allow myself to take an action? Can I allow myself to follow through on what I've received?
That's right.
And then the next thing that can come up is identifying what is truthful and what's important. So it's like once I've allowed it to come into me and I've allowed myself permission to do the next step or the next thing, it's identifying, are there limiting beliefs coming up around me doing this? It's identifying, are there untrue thoughts that come up of scarcity or saying you shouldn't take that action or maybe you should take that action instead? And so it's making you second guess what you received. So it's almost like a questioning of the mind as more of the stuff wants to come back up so that you can stay in the mindfulness. And then the last step, N, is about nurturing yourself while you go through the process.
Ooh.
So you get into the place where you receive however it is that you receive. Then you allow that next step to be revealed to you, and you allow yourself permission to take it, and you allow yourself to know that if you received it, it's meant for you. And then you identify what comes up that might hold you back or get sticky or might sabotage you. And overwhelm for me is one of those things that you want to identify. Oh, I'm identifying myself get overwhelmed. That doesn't have to do with what I received. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't have to do with allowing. So what else is going on here? There must be a limiting belief. There must be a sabotage. There must be scarcity. There must be fear. And so let me just separate that out from what I received and what I'm allowing. And then can I be really gentle and nurturing for myself and with myself as I navigate this process? Because like a baby learning how to walk, I haven't done this before. I haven't taken exactly this step before. I haven't done exactly this thing before. So I can't expect myself to nail it or to be perfect at it. I have to nurture myself and give myself the thing of, oh, I see you with those scary thoughts coming up. All good. Look at you just being human. All good. Now, can we go back to what we received and make sure that we're allowing and taking that next action?
Well, I love to think of us as a little baby. I love to think of me as a sweet little baby. Mm. And that was really beautiful what you said about nurturing. And it makes me think that my leading edge of growth, as you and I have been talking about, is there are some things that I want to create. And I felt like you were speaking to me just now as you talked about nurturing. How can I really nurture myself in this next phase of my creative process? Like like a sweet little child who's never done this before.
Yeah.
And really ask myself, what do I need in this process to nurture this new part of my creativity? I also wanted to talk about, it's like a relationship, being able to listen however it is you listen. There's a great book by Sonia Choquette.
Yes. Trust Your Vibes?
Trust Your Vibes. And that book really helped me tune my listening.
Mm-hmm.
I read it, I think when I was 30, and it taught me how to listen to my intuition in a deeper way and really start to develop that relationship. But like any relationship, the more you invest in it and the more you learn about it, the better you get at it. The longer you and I are friends, the more that I know you, the more experiences I have with you, the deeper and the richer our friendship gets. Mm-hmm. And the same way it is with Source, or you can say with your own creativity or your ability to listen to your creativity, the more time you spend there and you really develop that, how does my intuition talk to me? How does spirit talk to me? What is that like? And you can journal about this. You can say, I would like to listen better. I'd like to listen to my creativity more. Listen to my intuition, whatever word you want to put in there, and develop that relationship and learn how your body listens. I can see you listening. Even just now when you were talking about how your body senses things, it was fun to watch your hands, and I could see almost your hands were doing like what your body does.
Yeah.
And I've often said, like working with Kelly Devine, my choreographer, I can watch her close her eyes and see the dance moves in her head before she teaches it.
Mm.
And like, I'll watch her close her eyes, see it, physicalize it, and then teach the step.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, she's being a mystic, right?
Yeah.
And I love, it was either Rob Bell or Elizabeth Gilbert that said we're all mystic on some level.
Yeah.
It's the experience of the divine. And that listening is how we receive that beautiful divine information. So I do think if you have a desire to really listen, write it down.
Yeah.
Make an intention around it. And then start paying attention for the clues that you get.
Yes.
Start, you'll get directed on exactly how you listen and feel, and then it's fun to start to play with it. Oh, I just got a hit. Oh, I just got an inspiration. Oh, I saw something. Oh, somebody told me to go talk to that person. Oh, I'm feeling this inspired action. And start seeing where that takes you, and watch how exciting it is to watch your life change.
100%. And I also think, you know, something that the yogis say is that all form is here in service of the perceiver.
Ooh.
So everything that we see is here in service of we, the one who is perceiving it, right? And so what also for me is like, how can we get, if you're asking yourself, well, I don't know what I am or how I hear or see or feel or receive. I don't know how I receive. Then for me, what will help you perceive it is look for the ways that you sabotage, distract, or move away from yourself.
Ooh.
And that will always be the pointer. That's the noise that's covering it up. So as an example, if my superpower is my sentience, is my feeling, and it really deeply is, I mean, you know this about me, my intuition, my ability to feel my feelings, my ability to sit in emptiness, my ability to sit in pain, my ability to sit in the depth of feeling is my absolute superpower. And it's what makes me a great empathetic teacher, and it's what makes me a great artist. And so there's this deep sensitivity within my body that's incredible. And I will notice when I'm acting out or rebellious or out of my mindfulness, the first thing to happen is I will ignore the messages of my body. So I will notice myself pushing myself so hard that even when my body says I'm tired, I won't stop, and then I will lose my voice or I will get sick or I will, you know, break a bone or something like that, right? Like I will notice that my pushing past sensitivity. I don't want to be in alignment with that sensitivity. So I'm going to push myself. I'm going to hustle. I'm going to work hard. And that's the way that I distract myself from my own experiencing of my receiving nature.
Ooh.
So if we look at the ways we sabotage ourselves, we look at the way our stuff comes up, it will indicate to you exactly the way that you receive, because the acting out behavior is a way to shut down the receiving.
That's exactly what it is. I was telling Natalie this morning, I'm in amazement at how you can sit in emptiness. You do it so well. And it's as your friend, it's been really interesting to also observe your relationship with your body, because your body will not lie to you.
No.
Your body is so
clear. It's a lie detector.
It is a lie detector. And it's really fun. It's almost like amazing to watch. I feel in awe of it sometimes, like, whoa, that does not mess around. But
and it's such an important mechanism, and it is like a superpower.
It is.
And it's interesting that my whole life I had a detestation for my body.
Yeah.
I didn't like how it looked. I didn't like how it felt. I was always making up stories that I was sick all the time, that it couldn't do what everyone else's body could do. And I have an amazing body, but I was always picking on it, and I don't like this, and this is too saggy, and this is too big, and then I'm always finding a way to poo-poo it, when really it is this sacred gift.
Yes.
That is my vessel that actually has so much wisdom for me, but part of my maturation process in accepting myself was actually learning to love, because the hatred of it was actually keeping me out of my ability to use it for a divine purpose on the planet.
That's exactly right. And I was outing myself to Natalie this morning that the messages that were coming in from spirit was about distractions, that I have really been distracting myself from some work Spirit's been telling me to do. So you guys who listen to the podcast know, like, I heard meditation, contact Natalie, start teaching with her. And there's some things that Spirit has told me to do. And one is a very specific screenplay that I'm supposed to write that I've been talking about for 4 years, right? Since I've met you, I've been like, I know I'm supposed to write this screenplay. And the other is my poetry book. And Natalie actually said to me last night, she's like, I'm mad at you.
Mad at you.
Now Coco, my kitty, is coming over and telling me she's mad at me too.
Everyone's mad.
Everyone's mad. And this is what's so funny. I'll distract myself with working.
Yeah.
And working's fun. And I was telling Natalie, I distract myself with bright, shiny objects. So a bright, shiny musical can be a distraction if it's not the right action.
Yeah.
Right? So even though it's fun, even though it looks like joy, even though
it brings money or success or accolades or all the things that we think great creativity brings us.
But it's not what Spirit is telling me. And that's what the universe is like really hammering on my head right now. And I do a lot of things that are fun because I believe in fun. I believe life is for joy. I believe in pleasure. But I do a lot of things that are fun as distractions sometimes from really listening to the voice that is telling me what to do.
And it's really interesting because the way you will go into overwork or overjoy even, I will go into deprivation.
Yep.
But it's the same mechanism. I will put myself in a state of deprivation, but almost as a way to hurt myself so then I can't do what I'm here to do.
Oh, that's fascinating.
It's another way to avoid it.
Wow. And I go the other direction.
You're too sick, you're too tired, you need rest, you need like all these things, all this deprivation.
And it's not that deprivation or indulgence, it's like not one or the other. It's all about right action.
Yeah.
And right action is different for every single person, and that is why you have to listen.
Yeah. And that's why you have to know how you receive, because it's the Goldilocks way.
Yeah.
This one's too hot, this one's too cold, this one's too big, this one's too small. But it's finding your just right. And if you're comparing yourself to anyone else, you've already gone off of your just right. Because what is just right for Kristen might be 5 more projects than what's just right for me. Does that make sense? What's just right for someone might be 2 more kids than what's just right for you. And so we all have to know what our just right is, but you can't get it in comparison to other people. You have to get it in response and relationship to how and what you are receiving, because it's as individual as your fingerprint, it's as individual as your dream, it's as individual as your purpose here.
You can't do it the way anyone else has ever done it. That's why Joseph Campbell says, there is no road where your path is, because no one's walked it before. So that's why self-help sometimes doesn't work, is because it isn't prescriptive.
Right.
Now, it's really helpful sometimes when we don't have skills to say, hey, how does someone else do finance? That's not my area of expertise. I will study what they learned and like take new knowledge and new tools. But then it's like we learn about tools and then we take what works for us.
Yes.
Right? I always say that to actors. The best thing about taking lots of different kind of acting classes is you build your own tool belt of what works for you.
Exactly right. Every time I teach an acting class and people say, when because I usually teach a 3-week class, and at the end of the 3-week class, they say, what should I do now? And I say, go study with someone else.
Yes.
You know, and it's not to say, I don't want to continue working with you, but it is to say, you received some ideas and inspiration, tools, ideas from me. Now go get a whole bunch of new ideas from someone else, and then go get a whole bunch of new ideas from someone else, and try this method, and then try this, and then do it this way. And then, with all of that form all around you, it's like sitting in mindfulness and saying, where's the holy charge?
The holy charge.
Kristen and I coined this term, the holy charge, today when we were walking. We were talking about, what is that je ne sais quoi? What is that thing that kind of makes you know someone is the one or the dream is the one. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kristen and I don't believe in the one. We believe in the
many one
limitless possibilities of whatever. But it's like there's a holy, or you could call it a sacred charge, where it won't make sense, but you might walk into a room and see someone, and then there's this pull, there's an attractive nature, there's something that there's a charge, there's an energy, there's an electricity, and you know that charge is still going strong when you're like so angry at that person and you feel the charge to move away from them, but that's still the charge, yeah. Right? And it happens with our dreams too. And the holiness, the sacredness is saying, where there is charge, there is something for me.
Yes. And we've all felt that, I think, with a romantic relationship where you're like, I don't know why, but when that person touches me, my whole body goes on fire.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but when that person kisses me, time stops. And we've all had times where we kiss someone and like, I never need that to happen again for the rest of my life. We should tell the story of how we kissed once.
I was just thinking that.
Literally
just
like the two opposite ends of the magnets that like force away from each other. Like it was, both of us were like, oh.
Kristen and I were doing a photo shoot.
We were doing
just like for, it was like for fun. It was like for your birthday. We were like, you know, we were getting together with a whole bunch of friends. We were doing a photo shoot. And at one point, the photographer, they had us like sitting in front of a mirror, like we were putting on makeup or something. Very French. It was like very stylized, like very French, like almost like courtesans. It was like a really cool picture. And at one point, he's like, now turn to each other and just like kiss each other. And we were like, okay.
Now, mind you, I've dated women. I like dating women. I think it's sexy to kiss a girl.
Man, why not? Me too.
And then, like, but we realized, oh, we have no sexual attraction. Now, I will tell you, Natalie is, like, the most gorgeous girl. But, man.
We do not have it.
I'm so glad.
We it was, like, really funny. So, we, like, tried to give each other a little peck. And immediately, we were like, no. And we were laughing about it because we were, like, holding hands. I was like, Kristen, your beauty blows me away. Who you are blows me away. But I ain't got nothing there.
And we joke that the universe did it on purpose because if we were sexually attracted to each other, we'd never get any work done.
You would never have a podcast.
The podcast would not exist because we are both so sexual. That's all we would do. We just wouldn't stop.
But it is interesting to notice so many of us say, I really have this dream, or like I watch this TV show and I visualize myself on it, or oh, I've always wanted to go visit this place in the world. Like you have a pull. Maybe it's like I just was looking at a travel book and there was a picture of Turkey and I just, now I can't get it out of my mind. It's like that is your holy charge.
You know it's for you.
And sometimes we get into this thing of the desire comes in. And the immediate thing is all the reasons it can't possibly happen. Well, I can't go there. I don't have the money. I can't do this. And part of the rain is you receive it. Turkey. I feel a charge to Turkey. And then you allow the possibility. You say, okay, there's a desire in me to go to Turkey. There's a desire in me to write a cookbook. There's a desire in me to have a child. And now I allow and I let the universe show me the one next right step in the way that it shows me. And then I identify as I have those limiting beliefs that say, well, you can't do that. Yeah. Well, that's crazy. Well, who do you think you are? Well, that's for other people and not you. You identify, and you nurture yourself enough to say those are not serving the desire.
Yeah.
And whatever doesn't serve the desire is actually the thing that's overwhelming me. It is not the desire that's overwhelming me, and it is not the action or the allowing. It is the negative thoughts that is overwhelming the desire. And so the overwhelm is coming up as sacred and holy so you can say, oh, I'm making my limit bigger than my desire. And life wants me to make my desire the only game I'm playing.
And we know that desire is life asking for itself. So as soon as I have a desire, life is asking me to grow my beliefs as big as that desire, which is really fun. So
incredibly so.
If you notice, what's that desire I have inside of me? Life is saying, all right, now can you build a set of beliefs that where you know that is for you on the way and coming.
Yeah.
And it means that we have to go into that place where we do have a limited paradigm of what we think is possible for us and say, I'm ready to release this. Some of you know, I've had this really interesting year where I had a big breakup and I lost a big job. And I think both of them are related to the universe trying to get my attention about listening.
Yeah.
And it was like, we're moving some stuff out of the way because we want you to hear us and execute what you're hearing. And almost like I laugh at it because like the universe is mad at me being like, girl, all you do is teach this stuff all day long. What do we got to do to get your attention so that you'll really start executing on what we're telling you to do? And we're doing it because we love you.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Because we got something for you.
We got something so good for you. We just want to give you the kingdom, and you're like holding it at arm's distance. We want to shower you with how good it can get, and you've built a box that's too small, and we need to shatter it.
Yeah.
So things might feel a little painful because we're trying to get your attention because we have something bigger to give you.
Yes.
And it's really fascinating to me how clear.
So clear.
It's coming in.
So clear.
Yeah.
I would like to offer for anyone who can identify themselves as either a hearer or a seer or a feeler, I'd like to give like an exercise to strengthen that. So, you know, to Victoria's question of like, you know, how can you kind of like strengthen that muscle? And it is a muscle, right? And that's why you were saying like, that's why we meditate, because you want to, in the same way, your muscles of your body get strong when you work them. And then, you know, when you go to Paris for 3 weeks and you don't work out, things get a little softer, right? So it's a practice that you do. One of the yogis, Patanjali, was quoted by saying, do your practice and all is coming. If you don't do your practice, nothing's coming. But if you do your practice, all is coming, right? But you have to keep doing your practice. You just keep showing up. You keep showing up. You brush your teeth every day. You don't even think about it. So here's some practices that I would suggest. So if you find that you are a listener, the best practice is silent meditation. And the best practice is to notice the thoughts and almost like sweep your mind of the thoughts, and then notice the thoughts and sweep your mind and notice the thoughts and sweep your mind. And the practice is not to say, can I get rid of my thoughts? I would almost like you to visualize the practice is like if you have a ceiling fan that's spinning around, those are your thoughts. And your only job is you're making the intention that you turn the ceiling fan off, and over time it'll slow down. Mm-hmm. Right? But your job is not to be mad at yourself for all the thoughts you're having. Your job is actually to observe them and then sweep them away and just see if there's anything underneath of them. And then the noise of the thought comes back. So it's another way to think about it would almost be like listening to a radio dial, listening to music. And then you just do your best to turn the volume down on the music. And then when the music gets loud again, you just turn the volume down. And it gets loud again and you turn the volume down. And you just keep doing this practice, knowing that the job is not to sit with no thought. Because the yogis actually say that on average, we, even meditators, can't go more than 3 seconds without a thought, right?
Yeah.
So the job is not to be thoughtless. The job is to keep on making that little tiny space between the thoughts just a little bit bigger. And then to be able to have the discernment of like, what happened before that thought came in? Who was I being before that thought came in? And then you can just start noticing and observing and playing with. And that is the tool of listening. Because as you listen to your thoughts and clear the way, you're making a space for a new voice, a new sound, a new music. If you find that you are a visual person and you want to build that strength of visualization,
One really cool practice is to pick something in your home, like an object. Like, I'll just pick this thing that's in front of me. So Kristen has the Magical Mermaids and Dolphins Oracle cards.
And you're like, of course she does.
Of course she does. So I'm going to, with my eyes open, I'm going to look at this box. I'm going to look at the yellow lettering. I'm going to look at the blue box. I'm going to look like the look at the beautiful mermaid and the fish and see that there's a little pink thing at the bottom and there's rocks. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to take in as much information as I can. And then I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to see how much of it I can remember. And then I'm going to open my eyes and I'm going to look again and I'm going to see what else is there, what I forgot, you know, and then I'm going to do this practice again and again and again. And over time, what you will actually do is you're actually building your own visualization muscle. Mm. So you're building your ability to see when your eyes are not physically seeing.
Mm.
And as you do that, then what will happen is you'll be able to see on a non-physical plane.
I love that.
And then if you're a feeler, again, you can do this practice in more of a meditative state, but you really want to practice what are you feeling. And how I actually like to do this is I will set a timer on my phone to go off every 2 hours throughout the day. And the timer goes off and I do a check-in. What do I feel right now? I feel neutral. Okay, great. 2 hours later, what do I feel? I feel a little anxious. Where do you feel that? In my heart. Okay, great. Moving on. 2 hours later, what do you feel? I feel peace. Where do you feel that? Right? So all through the day, you're doing a check-in with actually getting into intimacy with how you feel, because most of us don't notice how we feel unless it's very big in one direction or the other. So you're starting to get into the subtlety of the feeling tone of your body so that you can start to identify how you're feeling, even when it's very small, even when it's very subtle, even when it's just like sneaking in one little corner of your body. And you can start to identify where your body holds more positive emotions, where your body holds more negative emotions, where your body holds the more subtle emotions, where your body holds the bigger emotions. And you can really get into a practice of really starting to discern exactly where you feel things. And then you can use your meditation practice to go into that space of your body and ask the feeling for information.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I was doing it as you were describing it. And I was like, oh, what am I feeling and where am I feeling it? And I was like, oh, there's so much information there.
Yeah.
I've never done that exercise like that.
Yeah.
And that's really
cool. And it's really cool if you do it with yourself throughout the day.
Yeah.
And it's cool if you set a timer, because then it's not just I'm thinking about my feelings because I'm feeling something. It's I'm thinking about my feelings when I don't think I'm feeling something and I notice what I'm feeling.
I'm going to do that today. I'm so excited for a new practice.
It's a really cool practice. And again, all of these practices, as you begin them, might feel very subtle.
Yep.
It may feel like you're having a chamomile tea. It doesn't feel that obvious. It doesn't feel like much is going on. But as that muscle gets built, man, oh man, your sensitivity to life is going to change in a major, major way.
I have some offerings.
Please.
For, especially when it is related to creativity, for listening and seeing. In the same way, you can start noticing your visions.
Mm.
Start to write down just flashes or visions you might get about your life. You can also do this when you read a script or a book. You can do it with a novel. Read the novel and then close your eyes and notice what you see in your mind as you were reading, right? And you're like, oh, so I can visualize this book and I can read this play and I can visualize this play as I'm reading it and realize that that information is information from source.
Mm.
It is it's source creating through you, through your mind.
Mm.
So then that becomes direction on how, for me, how to direct something.
Yeah.
So you can strengthen that by just whenever you have anything to read, visualize it in your head and notice that you're visualizing it. Because I think people visualize and they don't realize they're doing it.
100%.
And notice when you get visions of your own life that turn you on.
Yes.
Like, so what are the visions? The first thing that comes to my mind is pole dancing. Like, what's a vision that all of a sudden makes you go, ooh, that feels really good.
Yes.
That feels really fun in my body. And start to notice that, oh, I am getting visions, and that's direction too.
Yes.
What happened for me is I always knew I got visions when I would direct, but then I realized, oh, life is talking to me about my life in the same way, and I'm supposed to follow that.
Yes.
That's what those visions are. And then I realized the universe would give them to me for other people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, I can see other people as their highest and best selves.
Yes.
Whoa, that's crazy. So you can strengthen that muscle. And then here's one for the hearing when it comes to your creativity. Pick a character. It can be someone who's lived, like Marilyn Monroe, or it can be someone you totally create out of thin air. But imagine a character in your head, and then put them with someone else and listen and be like, what is Marilyn Monroe saying? And what is Einstein saying back? Someone just told me about a play where it was like a supposed meeting between Marilyn Monroe and
love
Einstein.
It.
But you start to hear their voices talk.
Oh.
And it should feel playful. And in the beginning, as you're doing it, you'd be like, I'm just making shit up.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
And watch.
It's imagination.
Imagination. So watch when it surprises you.
Yeah.
Watch when it amuses you. And notice that you don't actually have to try. They will surprise you and start to talk to you. So the more that you use that muscle, the more fun it will get. And you realize your imagination is entertaining you, and you will never be lonely again.
Mm, I love that. And all of these like fun little ideas and things to you know, strengthen these practices, relating it back to Igor's question about, you know, the overwhelm, which causes the inability to take an action, or how do you know what the right action is? And as you get more in discernment with these kinds of practices, with how you receive, and with allowing, the road will actually always be very clear.
Yeah.
That part of how we sabotage ourselves is the lie of confusion. But we actually, deep down, always know what we want to do.
That's
we
right.
Just don't always think it's possible, or we think we have to do other things to earn it,
mm-hmm.
or we think someone else has to do something in order for us to do it. But if we really get clear, we know what we want to do. We know which actions we want to take, and we know which ones we don't.
Well, the universe loves to motivate through joy and fun.
Mm.
That's how it tells us where we're supposed to go. So often I'll make a little list of these are the 6 or 7 things that I feel like are knocking on me,
yes.
right? And then I'll ask my heart, which one do you want to do now?
Yeah.
And I know that my heart is a compass that's directing me towards my good.
Yeah.
So that if I ask my heart, what's the action to take, what's the thing to do, it's going to point me. So in that space of love, overwhelm it can drop.
Yeah.
Because my heart always knows what to do. And I think we were taught to use our brain as a way of figuring things out or willpowering or forcing through. But it's actually our heart knows the quickest, fast, and most fun way to our good. I almost had tears the other night. This Uber driver dropped me off. And right before I got out of the car, he said to me, well, anything can happen with hard work. And I wanted to be like, you know what? I think there's another way.
Yes.
And I didn't say that to him in the moment, but we're so conditioned to believe that hard work is the answer that we will like whip and punish ourselves into doing all sorts of things that is not in alignment with our dharma, that isn't in harmony with the entire cosmos.
I can give you just the quickest, cutest example of this the other day, of feeling overwhelmed and not knowing what action to take. And one thing that I love to practice is a pause.
Mm.
I love to practice, like, if I don't really know what to do, then it means it hasn't been given to me
yet. Yes.
The next step hasn't been, if I don't know,
yeah.
then I need to do my practices and see what comes in. But so the other day, I wanted to be a fancy adult person and have a wine fridge. So I ordered the wine fridge, and it was supposed to have been delivered on such and such a day, and it didn't arrive. And so I got up the next morning, and I was leaving to go for, you know, a meeting or a workout or whatever I was doing. And I noticed that the box, like the big ass box that weighs like 90 pounds that has my wine fridge in it, is on the street. And I was like, oh, they UPS or whoever it was came and dropped it off, but they just like left it on the street. And I was like, someone's going to steal this, or someone's going to think it's garbage, or like, and I was in this like kind of moment of panic of like, what do I do? And it was 90 pounds. There's no way I could like carry it up the stair. And I was like, I don't know what the right action is. And it seems like there isn't a right action. So, you know, I called the seller and they said, oh yeah, we'll get someone, you know, to come. And I said, just like at least move it in the building. And they said, yeah, someone will be able to come by 5 p.m. Now this is like 7 in the morning. And I was like, oh my gosh, it feels to me like there's no solution here. And it feels to me like there's no action for me to take here. And so I got quiet and I said, is there an action step? And it didn't seem like there was one. So I said, okay, then I have to put it down for now. So I went to my workout and I came back an hour later and it was still there. But as I'm walking past my apartment, I noticed that there's this van parked and there's these two young gentlemen that are kind of having like a nap in the van. And I kind of looked at the van and I looked at the box. I looked at the van and I looked at the box and then I was like, well, they're sleeping. I don't want to bother them. And then just as I was about to go past the van, one of the guys kind of like woke up and I just waved at him and he waved and rolled his window down. And I said, hi, I don't mean to disturb you, but I have like 20 bucks in my wallet. If I gave you 20 bucks, would you guys like take a box upstairs in my apartment? And they were like, yeah, absolutely. And I was like, just so you know, it weighs 90 pounds. So, and they're like, don't worry, we would be happy to. These two lovely young men, strapping young men, carried this box into my apartment. The sweetest, most loving, I ended up having a lovely spiritual talk with them. They carried my box upstairs for me, like got it out of the cardboard, helped me set it up, literally the whole thing. And then as they were leaving, I was like, here's $20. They were like, no. It was our pleasure to help you.
Oh.
It was so miraculous to me. And then like off they went. And I thought, the third choice, I think there's the choice of it's going to get stolen. There's nothing I can do. Or I think there's the choice of UPS can come get it. Or like, and then what's the other choice? There's always another action that my mind can't think of, but my heart will.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. My heart will ask these two strangers to come and help me. My mind would never do that.
That is beautiful.
It was just like the most sweet story about I didn't know what action to take because it hadn't revealed itself. Those guys weren't sitting there yet, right? So sometimes non-action is an action. And sometimes just honing your skills of how you receive the information on which next action is the action.
It reminds me of the surrender experiment when Michael Singer talks about studying for an exam and when he was like in college age and he hadn't read the textbook at all. He had not studied and he asked the divine and he said, what do I do? And he heard, open the book. So he opened the book and he read like those two pages and he closed the book.
He's like, this is useless. It's too much information. I'm never going to be prepared.
And he went in the next day, and the question on the exam was exactly
the two pages he had read.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which is another great book in terms of honing your listening skills.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully this was helpful, Igor and Victoria. Thank you so much for your question. And I think what we would love is as you're practicing any of these tools, like please come on the Facebook page and share what you're noticing, what's coming up for you, what you're learning. I think it'd be really empowering for us as a community to talk about the building of these practices together. So how fun is that?
I mean, can you imagine how badass this community filled with people that know how to listen and they know how to listen?
I mean,
how their bodies interpret the, I mean, unstoppable.
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 So much fun.
We love you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for spending this time with us. We know that your time is valuable and we love that you choose to tune in and hang out with us. It's so fun to have these conversations with you.
Thanks for being our friend.
Don't forget about our summer sale. Go to thecreateseries.com and check it out.
And if you have any podcast topics, we're your girls. Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?